96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good night and welcome to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothar Archer Cartwright. Thank you for joining us on Tuesday evening for another show. I know it's been a little while since we've been live, kind of been back and forth and traveling a little bit. So I'm glad to be back here with everybody for another live show here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I decided I would do kind of like a mixed show tonight since, you know, it's been a little while. There was a topic that we didn't quite finish talking about, healthcare, and kind of like what do we need to kind of get there and what makes good healthcare and what makes good healthcare around the world. So we'll tap into a little bit of that. But I do want to get a little bit into a social issue, and I do want you guys to be a part of it. So I'm going to open the lines pretty early. If you have something you really want to talk about, or if you're interested in the topics that we'll kind of talk through on tonight's show, then you are welcome to call in. By the way, for those of you who are usually not tuned in, I'm Dr. Dinothar Archer Cartwright, family medicine specialist. We try to do this show every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio. The numbers to call in, 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259. I haven't been keeping up with everything that's going on in the Bahamas, but I know that a lot of stuff's happening. And, you know, if you want to talk about it, we can talk a little bit about it as we kind of talk about a few other things. So, you know, traveling, hectic, of course, this last month that went past, all the kids are back in school. My 2-year-old's in school for the first time. And my 10-year-old just started sixth grade. So really, really cool and exciting time for everyone, and a stressful time as well. All the schools seem to be changing up all these rules about clothing and stuff like that. So it's been pretty hectic. And I know everyone's had a hectic time with that. And just a lot of things going on in the world in general that, you know, there's still this spillover with all the COVID stuff and, you know, is there ever going to be apologies? And I would say, as a doctor who sees patients every day, I still see a lot of people that were really deeply affected by COVID and deeply affected by the policies related to COVID, from mental health to just illness in general. So, you know, that is still, even though it's not upfront anymore, kind of like the consequences of the way that we reacted to COVID is still quite front and center in our community. And we even saw it a little bit in our school children. If I have time, we can talk a little bit about that as well. But I did see the report card in the sense of the nation with the PGCSE results. And, you know, I'm not that I didn't expect it, but I'm kind of disappointed in a sense, because I really think, you know, as a growing nation, education is so, so important. And we need to find ways to overcome those challenges, which partly created by our own, I guess, leaders in a sense. And so it's just a lot of stuff going on, and life is just becoming a lot more challenging for most people. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll tap into what does it require to have a good healthcare system. Like I said, the phone line is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, brought to you by my company, Medical Concierge Services. We are a medical healthcare clinic. We service all your primary care needs, and we're located in the Bahamas Heart Center, right on the second floor. Just ask for Dr. Archer. Our team is there to serve you with all your primary care needs, as well as home care. We do home visits, which is becoming really, really important, especially with an older aging population. We're going into also some transport, disability transport. So if you're in the need for that, those types of services, you can give us a call, 326-1521. And our WhatsApp line, I will say that right at the end. You can check out our Facebook page. We're also on Instagram, medical_concierge_services, and our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com. I want to play a song, because I think one of the biggest things, and you would know that earlier on when I was quite vocal before I was just doing kind of healthcare on radio, I was vocal on a lot of topics, and taxes were always a big thing. The banking system, the way that they tax us. I've always had a great issue with this form of governance where, you know, you try to kind of suck as much as you can from the population. Yes, we need some taxes to make sure that the machine is running, but I'm not a big proponent of big government. And so I believe in smaller government, less taxes. And we're really feeling the brunt of that, I feel, right now, because it seems like fees and taxes are popping up everywhere and people are being squeezed by that. On top of that, there is the inflation. The cost of living is just high. And I thank God that, you know, I'm in a good position, but I look at the everyday cost of just doing basic things such as buying food, gas, and I realized that across the board that there really could be a struggle. And the thing about it is, if you look up north, Americans are feeling a lot of the things that we're feeling, and they're going through a time where, you know, they went from being energy secure and now being very dependent on, you know, getting oil and gas and those types of things. So a lot of their policies within the last few years have also kind of caused them to be in an uncomfortable place, not just from COVID, but just their way of dealing with energy and a lot of other things. And so I want to play a song and kind of go over the lyrics, because this song is really, really trending in America right now. And I think some of it also reflects us, because we go through a lot of similar things as us. And, you know, we would go to America sometimes on vacation, and you say it's so much cheaper than the Bahamas. I don't think there's a really, really big difference as much anymore. It's still a little bit cheaper than us because we import everything, but America is not quite where I would think they used to be, at least not the way you thought of them as a child. And so I want to play this song. I want to know if any of this rings true. Also for Bahamians, are there some tones in there that everyone across the board is feeling, and kind of go through the lyrics of it. So if you could play the song for me, that would be great.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world with an old soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't this, and it's taxed to no end. Politicians look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast milking welfare. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. And then I don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't ish, and it's taxed to no end. Cause the rich men, north of Richmond.
I don't know if that was playing very clearly. But yeah, this song has kind of gone viral in the United States. It's a very simple song, but I think it speaks to what a lot of average Americans are feeling right now in a world where there's a lot of, I guess, inequality in the sense, but not the way that, you know, they broadcast. It's more so inequality of classes in a sense. You know, we are living in a time of such obscene wealth. And for the first time in a while, you know, it's quite a great divide. There was like this gaping middle class that kind of kept us all balanced. You know, most people fit into there, and then there were some people who were richer and some people who were poorer. But we're kind of slipping into this age where, you know, there's extreme haves and extreme have-nots. And this is kind of what the song is about, whilst talking about the social ills that are going on that we seem to be not paying attention to. So the first verse of the song, he says, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bull pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life, drive back home and drown my troubles away. And a lot of people live their life like this. They just, you know, they're working just to kind of get through, hopefully pay their bills. And a lot of people drown their sorrows in, you know, bad behaviors and addictions and different things like that. So this is something that a lot of people deal with daily. The other part, next part of the song, says it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me and people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. He's talking about living in the new world with an old soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows they all just want to have total control, want to know what you think, want to know what you do. And they don't think you know, but I know that you do, because your dollar ain't, and it's taxed to no end, because of rich men north of Richmond. And he's talking about the world in very simple words, but it kind of explains what a lot of us went through over the last 3 years, realizing that there were aspects of life, very wealthy people and people in power, that do want a sense of control over the average man. And realizing that you may not have the control that you thought over your own life, having to do things that you thought you would never have to do. And the fact that the money that's in your hand isn't worth what it was even yesterday. A big proponent of that, like I said, I just came from a trip to Miami, and nowadays, you know, you just would pay, you know, just like that, and it would be one-to-one. But humans have not realized how really our dollar has been devalued just through banking and taxes and the way that you look at money. You know, there's quite a bit of an exchange when you purchase things online now, because they've digitized everything. So your one-to-one doesn't look like one-to-one anymore. And so paying in US versus paying in Bahamian, when that money is converted, you lose something on every dollar, whether it's 3.5% plus taxes or even more. You know, you can purchase something for $1,000, and you know, you're going to pay a little bit more. If you pull out your money in the US, you usually have to pay for that. And by just digitizing our own currency, we've kind of devalued it, because every transaction now comes with a fee. So a dollar is not a dollar. And what does that mean? Because you're working for these dollars only to find that your dollar isn't a dollar. The next part of the song, he says, I wish politicians would look out for miners, and not just miners on islands somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street ain't got nothing to eat, and the obese milk and welfare. And he's kind of making an analogy, or, you know, a pull on words on, we talked about the movie that talked about human trafficking, especially on children. And he's kind of pulling on the fact that when it really counts, do we have people in authority that are looking out for the children, that are looking out for the most vulnerable amongst us? You know, is that happening? Or is it only for personal reasons or gain that people look out for certain groups of people? And the children are the most vulnerable. And whether we're talking education, healthcare, safety, you know, if you can't look out for the children, then where are you as a nation? And he talks about people on the street with nothing to eat, whilst there is an obesity epidemic going on. So very extremes all in the same place. The people who are getting an assistance for all the chronic problems, and it's usually related to having too much excess, whereas the people on the street, who's really helping them? Very, very thoughtful song. Simple words, but very, very thoughtful, right? So he does talk about the healthcare epidemic in the song, about being over 300 pounds. And, you know, in the United States, there's welfare, and there's a lot of healthcare taxes, stuff like that, that go into that. So talking about that in his own country. And we see even our own selves as Bahamians, how we have really had the opportunity to indulge so much that our population suffers from a lot of chronic diseases, which are, most of these diseases are environmental, what we do to ourselves, our eating habits and the things that we do. So I thought that was very interesting that he pulled out so many different aspects of our ills in society in this one simple song. He goes on to say it's a damn shame that what the world's gotten to for people like me and people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true. And so he's talking about the average guy, just like, you know, walking down the street. Like, what does it mean for us? And how has the world changed for us? You know, and he talks about living in the new world. He says that again, living in the new world with an old soul. These rich men north of Richmond. Lord knows they all just want to have total control. Want to know what you think. want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Because your dollar ain't, and it's taxed to no end, because rich men north of Richmond. And he ends again, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for shit pay. That's how he ends his song. And so, you know, I've been listening to that, and I know it's kind of a country song. Many people may not like country as much, but it is trending. And I heard it when it first came out. And I think it's simple enough to kind of touch a lot of people in various different ways. And so, are the sentiments in the Bahamas the same? Do we feel like in this new world, it's just difficult for the average man? And how are we dealing with that? Are we dealing with it in any particular way? Or are we just going along? Are the taxes too high? Is your money not worth it? It's not going where you need it to go? Do you see any light at the end? Or is it just a treadmill that we're all on? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Are you an old soul living in the new world? That is the question. Are you an old soul living in a new world? Does this have any, ring any sentiment for here in the Bahamas? You can join in with that conversation as we kind of go over some other things that I found were really important to highlight tonight. And then looking kind of what are some of the major things that make a good healthcare system? Because I do think that we're going to have a lot of issues if we don't develop the systems that are needed to support our growing populations, population in both education and healthcare. So those are really, really important things. And then I want to read a poem later on that was very integral in my education when I was younger. I was always into history and geography and stuff. So I took history and geography when I was at St. Andrews. And one of our teachers, a very eccentric guy, he just passed away recently, but he was very adamant on us learning certain things. And even though sometimes you forget these things, like directly, when you look back on them, you realize that a lot of these things that you learn, especially when you were younger, they affect and they shape the way that you look at life, the way that you formulate your perspective, and really have a really big impact on what shapes you as a person. And I came across this poem in particular that really, we had to learn this at the time, if I don't remember, any of my St. Andrews colleagues out there, classmates, we had to learn this off the heart. And we had to recite it, write it in a task form, because he was really extreme like that. And so, you know, I always kind of remember this poem in a sense, not always off by heart, but definitely remember it in a sense. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what makes a good healthcare system as we go along. But I do hope that you guys can join in with your thoughts about what we talked about first-handed. And then before the end of the show, I really want to read this poem because I think it really speaks to how to live your life. You know, as things get kind of crazy and tumultuous in this world, we really do need to have some type of game plan. So I like guidelines to life. So I think the Bible, I'm a spiritual person. The Bible is a really good guideline to life. It tells you how to live, how to eat, how to drink, how to everything. So that's my number one thing. But there are other things that are very impactful in the way that you shape or look at life, right? So that's one of those things, and I want to get into that. So found a really great article that I thought summed up a lot of the things that I was thinking about. It's called A Quick Guide to Quality Improvement in Healthcare, right? And so we'll go through some of these things. And if you want to jump in, if you have some thoughts on what we talked about, or you have something else that you really think is important to the Bahamas at large or to healthcare at large, please feel free to call in 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Okay. So what is quality improvements in healthcare? Very big thing, because we are struggling in healthcare. And from what I've seen and what I've heard, I don't think we're heading in the right direction as a national, as a nation in terms of healthcare. You know, there are some things that we are doing right. There are some things that we could be doing better. But what does that mean? What is our goal? What are we looking for in terms of really good healthcare? So I thought some of the points that I saw here really kind of summed up what that all means. So according to the National Academy of Medicine, quality in healthcare refers to the effectiveness of health services in helping individuals and populations achieve their desired health outcomes, as well as the extent to which healthcare institutions remain current on the latest professional standards of care. So what does that mean? Quality healthcare means that you're achieving the goals that you set for yourself, that you set for your country. So what are our country's goals on healthcare? Generally or specifically, do we have healthcare goals? I think with healthcare, especially going through a pandemic, healthcare should be one of the number one things as our priority. So we should have national healthcare goals that everybody is aware of. So essentially, we need a blueprint that institutionalizes or uses systemically refined processes to achieve the outcomes that we desire. And these include standardizing processes, structures, and achieving predictable results, improving overall performance to the benefit of patients, the healthcare system, and society at large. To bring these values to life, healthcare institutions need to optimize and combine technology, culture, leadership. And culture is one that I find that our leaders tend to leave out, because we see a lot of cut and paste and using technology from different places, but we forget the cultural aspects, considering we as Bahamians and what is important to us and how things affect us personally. Globalization has led to kind of a one-size-fit-all model, which leaves out the cultural aspects of what a plan would require to be effective. Because what may be effective in, let's say, New Zealand may not be effective in Bahamas because of the cultural undertones or lack of cultural undertones. Leadership is extremely important. So who is leading the ship, as well as physical and human capital? So what are the goals of quality improvements in healthcare? The Institute of Medicine published 6 aims for improving healthcare quality, which provides a framework for healthcare providers and provides a breakdown and explanation of what this is. So what should we be looking for? What do we need in our healthcare system? Number one on that list is safe healthcare. It's given that any healthcare environment should be safe for all patients. This includes focusing as much as possible on the care that is being delivered by frontline staff. One area where safety can often be compromised is in the handoff process, such as transferring patients between departments, those types of things. And this also includes shifts and changeovers and communication. So communication is very, very important. Safety of care is an extremely important thing. And there's been a lot of questions about safety and care, especially in our tertiary systems. So that's something that we really need to look at. What external factors could be involved in that, including patients, families, and loved ones? Communication also becomes an issue there. And a lot of times things are problematic because of lack of communication between the healthcare facility, the healthcare workers, and the families and the patients themselves. So communication is very important for safe healthcare. During ongoing contact between patients and these individuals, nurses are pivotal in that position to maintain patient safety by communicating with families and by overseeing patient-visitor interaction. So the patient-nurse interaction is very important and not to be taken lightly. as well as the doctors. Oh, we have a call. Caller, you're on the air.
A pleasure. Good evening to you, Dr. Archer. First time caller.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the show.
I'm enjoying the conversation so far. You know, someone has said that we are in a rat race and the rats are winning. So do we drop out of the race or we become rats? You know, I think one of the most, I think what is essential for the survival of the next generation, I know it's a hard fix, is we need to start to teach financial literacy within our schools. We need to teach from an early age the value of money. A lot of times, even in some of the poor household, there's this mentality of spend. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Or, you know, you only live once, so you don't have to worry, you know, just enjoy your life now. You know, I feel that in educating people, and I've always told people to, you know, get your education, get your degrees, but in the meantime, invest in a trade. Find something that you can do outside of what you're doing. Try get a side hustle or something else, just in case one thing goes down. Like old people say, you don't put all of your eggs in one basket. This world, doctor, this situation ain't gonna get no better. It's not gonna get any better. So we have to find ways in which we can survive. Those persons who have access to a backyard and, you know, who have little areas that they can plant things and grow food to cut down on their food, and, you know, I encourage them to go ahead and do that. I was listening to the lady from China who was on the ambassador yesterday on Howard's show, and, you know, she spoke of the fact that we, a country with 365 days of basically sunshine a year, yet we are still dependent on fossil fuel. And so, I mean, I know the government has lowered the duty on solar panels, but it really need to make it more financially accessible to the average person so that we can cut down on the high cost of our electricity bill, because between our utility bills and your rent, you know, and your mortgage, that basically take up for the most part the greater part of your earnings. For those who are on the lower income spectrum, those people who are making their six-figure income, I mean, and they may have to pay a higher percentage in terms of mortgage, right? But I'm saying that the government need to put in more initiatives, and we need to, and you know, sometimes we try to teach our children about savings and about investing in things that would bring them some return, not in clothes and here and these kind of things that they buy them for 1 week, next week they throw them down.
Well, caller, before you go on, because I know you're hitting on a lot of really good points. But, you know, I think people are too dependent on the educational system, especially the public educational system, to teach them skills for the entire world, when education is just like a basic foundation for higher education, possibly, and to just navigate certain things. Who in the school would be teaching financial literacy? I don't think that a lot of teachers may even be in that position to do that. So people say that. I just wanted to make that point because people say that a lot. But, yeah, but if you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that's what it's called, right? His poor dad, and he wasn't really poor, but he was like a teacher, lecturer. He could never teach his son those things that he did not know. Mm-hmm. Right? He actually learned it from his friend's father, who did not finish school and was a businessman. And so I think with all this information on the internet that we have access to, instead of TikToking, which people are doing TikToking or whatever like that, you need to do a lot of self-learning and be self-taught and even push your kids to get into these things, because the average guy doesn't know this stuff or he wouldn't be where he is. Right. The average teacher is making about $30,000, $40,000 a year. And, you know, that's where they're at. And, you know, some of them may be doing a lot of things with that. And some of them are just kind of living the same lifestyle where they're just kind of paying bills and going through the motion. So school may not be the place for that. I think we need to start looking outside of the systems that we've been grounded in, because they've been created to create certain things.
Well, I, you know, for the most part, and if a lot of so-called, if you look at the public school system, right, most of those individuals, they come from single family homes, right? They don't have, let's say, a father and a mother in the house. And they pick up things from off the street. But if you have it as a discipline within the school, because I think it's, you know, it's taught. I listen to Dave Ramsey a whole lot. And you know, the whole thing is that, you know, this is something that is part of the curriculum, or they're trying to make it a part of the curriculum in a lot of schools in the state. Okay, to teach, and it's a habit. It's something that, you know, we learn from our parents, and some of our parents, they were able to save $1 out of 50 cents. You know, they were able to economize. You know, they were able to make it happen. But it seems like today, you know, they sometimes would go in ASUS or they would save.
Because as you said, caller,
we're living.
Their parents taught that to them.
Right, but we, what I'm saying, we have lost that. We have lost that thriftiness. We have lost that. I will save for this. Okay, we want to live in this now. I want it now.
I don't want to,
you know, have to wait. And so we go to the bank and we finance something. We finance everything. We finance our furniture. We finance our car.
We finance our government.
Well, that too. And we are living in the hand of the finance man, so to speak. You know, like Eddie Miller say, even the government, they are spending more than they have every year. Every year there's a deficit. Because they are spending more than they have, and it's the expectation that, okay, we are the government, so there's an expectation that the government will overspend. We see how they waste money left, right, and center. And
so we are teaching the children finance, because from the top down, they have a clear example all around them, and from the top down, the humans are all doing the same thing. But not all in the sense of all, but generalized.
But from the top down. I would like to say, as I leave, Doctor, you know, Wayne Johnson always say that, you know, I am the CEO of me.
Right.
You have to create your own economy. You cannot depend on the government or anybody else to make your life for you. You know, if it's to be, it's up to me. And so you have to realize, and you have to teach individuals that, you know, this culture of waiting on or depending on the government or depending on this one. No, you know, what Indian says, I choose not to be a common man. It's my right to be uncommon if I can. I will not depend on the government for any kind, you know, and I can't remember the rest of it. But, you know, this whole dependency thing and whatnot, you know, we have to get back into the spirit of creativity, of hustling, and not sitting down and waiting. You know, I look around at all the things, like the guy wrote a song, Money on the Ground. I look at in some countries where they take, like everything they have, and they are turning it into resources. All the, like the almonds and the coconut bark and things like that, they're turning into charcoal, they're turning into, the, you know, all of these things. We need to get people to think and to use their mind instead of on the telephone 24 hours, you know, to to become creative, and we must create a creative environment within the schools, and you know, show these things. So, you know, we are dependent on tourism. Okay, we don't have any really industries that we have here that will be able to sustain us. We saw what happened during the COVID when the tourist dollars wasn't coming in. You know, we were stuck.
The sad thing about tourism is, for an industry that we're so invested in, we don't really own it.
Yeah.
We don't own any major hotels. We don't own any cruise ships.
Yeah.
We've got one airline company, you know, that's kind of supported by the government. Yeah. You know, that we really haven't even tapped into the tourism market in a substantial way other than, you know, jobs, peripheral jobs.
But, Doctor, I don't want the government to own it, because, you know, the government can't run a candy kitchen. So don't give it to the government to run.
No.
Give it, somebody private investor or some, Bahamian or whatnot, and they come in. But if you let the government run something, you know, they can hire their friends, family, their lovers, and you know how much hotels we have?
I think the government's job is really to create platforms and opportunities and step out of the way. I don't think the government should be invested in controlling a lot of the capitalistic market. I think they should create a fair environment where people can thrive and they're not holding you back. And that's why I have an issue with like some of these excessive taxes and fees and stuff like that, because I feel like instead of like, you know, making things easier, there's always seems to be more obstacles when you kind of found out the loophole on how to, not really the loophole, but how to maneuver in the market. You know, here comes something else.
Yeah, they come and they throw up something. They see you trying to make a couple of dollars so they can pull it on your Airbnb and all kinds of things. You know, I mean, I know we need, that the government needs taxes in order to fund itself, right? And that's important. But at the same time, you know, you need to create the environment for Bahamians, among other people, to really thrive. Doctor, every place you go, you have to pay VAT.
Yes.
You're paying VAT on this and VAT. You order something, you've got to pay VAT on the duty and then on the freight. Then when
on
you
top
get
of the
invoice,
duty,
you got to pay VAT on that. You're paying a bill, you got to pay VAT on the bill. You got like they take the 2% off, but you still ain't, like you feel like you paying must be 4% more. You know, you like just
because they spread it across. They don't worry, they didn't do you any favors. They just said instead of not paying VAT on certain things, you pay VAT on everything. We lowered the amount. If you think about it, you probably are going to pay more, especially the poor. I can say that businesses, maybe persons like myself, won't make a big difference, but I definitely the poor that's buying something every single day, they're going to feel it. But thank you, caller. That was
anyhow, Doctor, thanks for your engagement. Yes. And continue.
All right. Thank you for the great thoughts. I think we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello. Hello. Good evening, Doctor. Doctor, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound very low. I don't know if this is my phone or it's you, but I can barely hear you.
I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, gentleman lives to the next corner from me.
Mm.
So we always conversate, and so it's some interesting points, but I'm kind of vexed and cynical, right? Because this topic you're discussing is timely, right? And, of course, the money ghouls will always be after the money. I don't know who it was who invented VAT, but that has to be European, but I see VAT is on the water bill and all other bills, right?
Yes.
And so, the thing is, Dr. D, I'm kind of, I guess I'm cynical. Education is great, right? But I realized something you said very important, self-educating yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have a deviant mind, but I was wondering if some people, education won't save us. It really won't, but I'm looking at it as really people taking advantage of the lesser educated people and subterfuging them out of their external reality. Now, I don't know if you read the book Bill Gates' father wrote. I read a slight portion of it because it was saying that his father taught him how to network with rich people, and he had mentioned the Rockefellers, and so Bill Gates had said that, I think him or his father, wherever they turned, the Rockefellers were there, whether it was healthcare, medicine, college fees, I mean, college education, they were all, their tentacles were everywhere, right? And so we know what capitalism is, and we know the reason for the pandemic, because we are living it. And we see the narratives coming from the Great Reset, COVID-19 and the Great Reset, the book, right? So I'm looking, you know, something you mentioned too, you know, growing food, and you know, I always talk about growing food up in a parallel society, but I'm not giving up. I'm living up. But
yeah,
I just know the global agenda because I've been following it for so long. And so this is by design. This is nothing new for me. So somebody had posted the song that I listened to the song to at the early part of the show, right? You know I love the song, right?
Yes.
Because it's realistic. And it's what's
yes.
going on. And so maybe our leaders, if they want to follow Canada, I wouldn't call it Canada, because I can't call it Canada anymore. Canada, right? They want to follow Canada, right? And do everything they do, but they don't want to follow their healthcare model. But Canada is slowly slipping into I can't even call it democratic, dystopian nightmare, because democracy to me was always a farce. You see, most people are underread in this realm because democracy was what they knew they had to spread throughout the world in order to implement the New World Order. You had to try to get everybody on one page. So I heard the lady on Howard Grant show, she's coming talking all of this good stuff about China, right? But Dr. D, I can't help it if my mind knows China's agenda. I can't help it, Dr. D. It is not, the globalists know now that they don't need bombs, jeeps, tanks, and soldiers to take over a country. It's a, Howard called it neocolonialism, but it's taking over a country by economic stealth or in stealth. You understand what I'm saying, right, Dr. D?
Yeah, I blame our leadership, because at some point, even though we're a small nation, we have to learn how to play the game where we can get what we need without selling our souls, which means that we have to be a little bit more, hip to the scene, right? So taking a couple of dollars and selling out your future for 50 years, it doesn't make sense. Even the African nations are kind of waking up. Yes, they're taking some things from China, but they're getting much more than we are.
Yeah, the reciprocity is greater, right? But, you know, I've been following this for so long. Dr. D, I'm 59 years old. I was always, listen to me. China has copied everything from America. This is by design under the Mao Zedong, right? And what happens is now, with China, you know, your American companies were there. So we will find out now that companies are pulling out of China and they're getting into India and other places to avoid this problem with China totalized type governance, right? And so what you see now is...
Not just that, China's having a problem economically, even though they're all...
Yes, but they're hiding it. Dr. D, you know I respect you, man. And they're hiding it, but also, Dr. D, here are the facts. China produces a lot of inferior goods. Now, I wouldn't say they don't make anything that's no good, but you have to have a better business... The standards of quality bureau, right? Listen to me.
Yeah.
If I'm in
they grade their craftsmanship. So
yeah,
they will
I buy products,
you,
Dr. D. I can see inferiority in products. As
you,
I am 59 years old, I mean, I've been seeing products over the years, even the cut nails. So sometimes when you look at where things come from, that's just an example. You see buildings collapsing over there. It's just a lot of people are asleep on this plantation, you know. And so I saw even where as it relates to the song that you played, even where you somebody in the group had posted something about the ETA, right? I can't remember the acronym, but it's ETA. But it's like where they you have to be accepted in their country before you travel. It likens me to Operation Lockstep scenario narrative, Rockefeller Foundation, that I've been talking about for years. But of course, 52 is very crazy. You know that, right? See, once you far ahead, you're always gonna look crazy. And so I have, you know, two young children. But so let's give you an example. My oldest daughter, she had graduated from UB this year, but she's working, and so she and somebody they started a little import export business. But then she also get into the embroidery, like computerized embroidery and stuff, like putting graphics on cell phone covers and glass and cups and shirts and all that stuff. And I didn't even know she had this capability. She just get into it. And my little 7-year-old is creative also, because I've seen it. She's just being creative. But I have to drive them in this. See, a lot of us have forgotten art and craft, which is a form of making money. You understand what I'm saying, Dr. D? You have to be
diverse, and I agree with you,
because at the end of the day, Dr.
Innovative.
D, when the globalists implement new strategic ways to enslave people, certain jobs will be made obsolete. like somebody, I think somebody was saying in the group that they traveled and they didn't, you know, like they're bypassing a lot of human activity, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to brace yourself for this dystopian nightmare that is about to come on us. So the whole world, you listening, is not going to turn up their cell phones and they are not going to turn up their computers. So no. This panopticon and capital surveillance model is going to be forever, because they're really not interested in people my age who have experienced the analog and the digital. They want me to hurry up, get up for the stage now. I'm telling you, they don't want us around. So this is what you're seeing. And so by the end of the day, it's like you could imagine if a child was born during the pandemic and that particular model was adhered to for the rest of their lives, they wouldn't really know what freedom is. So it's basically the same thing with you and I living now. We think we are free, but we are not. Just like 200, 300 years ago, people were more free than what we are today. So I'm just trying to remind the public that if they think they are free, then they are foolish, because you're not. And we have to realize that we are not free. And if anyone thinks they are free, that's their business. They can still wallow in their ignorance, and there's nothing I can do for them. But as your rights are being constricted,
I think
it wouldn't be
saying
released.
That, you know, like if you give up everything for safety in a certain sense, right, having things structured in a particular way and controlled by a certain group of people, then you do give up some of your freedom. And that worked for a while, very comfortably for most of us, because we didn't really see any ill intentions. Democracy was kind of working in a sense. But I think the world, just as the world is a circle, as we move so progressively along, it's a circle. So you end up kind of where you started, which was kind of dictatorial kind of nature of control.
Yeah, but doctor, I'm always calling and talking foolishness. You see, what I'm saying is,
most people don't understand
the reason behind technology was to eventually control mankind. I can prove it to anybody, but I'm telling you, this Technocracy Incorporated started in the basement of Columbia University. When you delve into Patrick Wood, Technocracy Rising, and the juxtaposing the power grab at Silicon Valley, as they improved the ability to computate and collect data, it was already known that they wanted to collect data in computations, which will end up being algorithms. And so this is all designed to control humanity, monitor the Earth's resources, human beings, consumption, manufacturing dates. You get the picture. And this is what's in the book. This is what I see. This is what I know. So techology, hello, is what I call it. Techology, okay? It's being used against mankind. Now, we could say it's being used for good and bad, which is correct.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is it's eventually has been and is being used to control mankind. So what I hated was people would judge you without dwelling. You know, Dr. D, there's too many rabbit holes to go down in for somebody
but
I've been down a lot of rabbit holes.
Our
leaders today are nothing but subservient global puppets.
We just need to put a little bit more pressure on our leadership not to be following a global agenda, a one-size-fit-all model for us as Bahamians. We want something different, and if we don't demand it, then who will?
They can't demand anything when they are puppets on the plantation, Dr. D. I'm not cutting you off. What I'm saying is,
yeah,
I posted stuff on the chat.
You got 10 seconds.
All right. There's some stuff I posted by James Warburg, mm-hmm. Rockefeller. One of them is from H.G. Wells. It says that we will achieve the New World Order by consent or conquest. And this is from 1939. So how could we? You see, most of us are mindless and buckless. Have a good day, man.
Have a good day. Thank you for calling in. We got some comments I just wanted to get through before we that are coming from offline. Good night, sir. Our view here at Citizens for a Better Commonwealth of the Bahamas is when any government places taxes on food and medicine, they don't want a healthy and a robust society. Kevin McCarthy just told the EU that it would be a bad idea to impose a 20% worldwide tax. They don't care about us living in tribes. We're much better than this. He goes on to say, to be honest, the Chinese black market is the one that's lower grade. The legit Chinese companies are held at higher standards. Yes, I've been to China, and there is a grading system of the quality of goods, and if whatever you want to get, you can get. China's just a place where whatever you want to get, you can get it for whatever price. And you have to be a savvy business person, and you have to be legitimately looking for what you're looking for. Because if you're not legitimately looking what you're looking for, their rules of production are a little bit different. That is their culture. They're trying to change that a little bit, but that's basically their culture. They will do whatever needs to be done, and they will provide whatever product you want them to produce. For the Bahamas to prosper, we must join the African nations. It's interesting. The Bahamas has too much, these are comments from offline, guys. The Bahamas has too much unused land to not be able to feed ourselves. They're a reason why the Chinese wanted Andros. Yes, I do definitely think that we should be focused on food security. I always kind of talk about it. I do feel like that we can do more, and we need to find ways to bring down the costs, which requires innovation, new thought, and new think leaders. Are they making space? That's one of my main things, is that I don't think they're making enough space for persons who really are thinkers and innovators. Although I guess you have to start now creating systems of your own innovation that are going beyond the bounds or the limits or the glass ceilings put in front of you, which is difficult because you have to work within the system that you have. And so my only thought for the government or for our leaders is just to remove barriers, obstacles, and allow people to fairly participate in a capitalistic open market. You know, certain people just always get certain things, and if we open that up to others, then I think we would share the pie a bit more, and the wealth would spread, and there would be more chances for opportunity. Why aren't we creating more 100,000 euros, millionaires, 10 millionaires? Every country has that, and we're not seeing that type of growth here. It's very small scale, but we are a country with a lot of light, a lot of potential, and we're not fulfilling that potential. And so I want to thank you tonight. We didn't get through all of our health stuff, but we definitely had an interesting conversation. And I agree with the texter about doing trade with Africa. We can make transportation of goods reasonable. That is something to look at, but we need to diversify our partners. It's very important. And we need to be more strategic as a country when making deals. So we have to think about our future, we have to think about our children, and we have to think of ways of pumping funds into our country without taxing our people to death. It's just lazy governance. So, okay, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week on The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Jenotha Archer-Cartwright. We'll see you next week, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. Good night.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.